Thank you for listening to the Voices of UMass Chan, featuring the people, ideas, and advances of UMass Chan Medical School.
Hi, everyone. I'm Jennifer Berryman, the host of the Voices of UMass Chan. Today, a conversation about a crucial matter of health and health equity. It's impacting people here in Worcester and across the country. Our guest is Dr. Charisse Hamblin, an assistant professor in obstetrics and gynecology, a practicing OBGYN, and an advocate for improving Black maternal health. Dr. Hamblin, welcome.
Thank you so much for having me.
Could you just start by sharing some of the truly sobering statistics about maternal mortality rates in the United States, particularly when we're talking about Black individuals who are pregnant?
Absolutely. At this point, we hear these statistics so often that people outside of medicine are very aware of them. In comparing developed countries, the United States ranks very poorly in maternity outcomes overall. The risk of dying in childbirth in this country is higher than other industrialized and developed nations. When we're talking specifically about the experiences and outcomes of Black birthing people are 3 to 4 times more likely to die in childbirth, in and around childbirth, than white women. And that is, it's alarming, but it's not surprising to me. And perhaps that's because I'm doing this work. You know, when I think about my career as an OBGYN, and I've been in practice for 13 years, and the rate of unintended pregnancy remains about 50%, unchanged. You know, there's lots of issues. It's not just about birth control being available. You know, what makes someone plan a pregnancy, you know, also has to do with feelings of agency and having control over your own life. Also, there are other factors. And when we think about, you know, people delaying childbirth until later, and there's just so many factors that go into people's decision on how they build their families. And in this current environment, there's lots of restrictions on people depending on what state you live in, what access you have, coverage, and access to even family planning services. There's so many things. So when we take all of those changes and kind of the backward steps that we're making as a country in some ways in respect to people having control over their own bodies, and we couple that with having some of the worst maternity outcomes, it's confusing. The cognitive dissonance is real.
I think we can't put too fine a point on that. I mean, so even for people who are aware that there's these wide disparities in maternal outcomes, when you say Black women are 3 to 4 times more likely to die during or after pregnancy than white women in this country, that is shocking. And so why do you say it doesn't surprise you? Is it like, and what are the reasons behind it? Like, how far have we come in unraveling and addressing those reasons?
Racial health disparities or disparate outcomes along racial lines have to do with racism. That's what they're rooted in. So when I say it's not surprising, I know that racism exists. Racism is pervasive. As much as we would like for it to not be a thing, it is. And it's pervasive in society, whether we're talking about interpersonal racism, whether we're talking about structural racism, whether we're talking about institutional racism. And so it's nice to think that, you know, we've come some ways, but we really haven't. And what little strides we've made, there are often, you know, backward steps to go right along with them. So when we're talking about the outcomes in Black women, once upon a time, Black women were the delivering providers for all of the babies in this country. So when we're thinking about before you had an OBGYN office, when most births were happening at home, births were happening in plantations, births were happening during slavery, and the birth attendants were granny midwives. They were people who had a practice or a tradition of assisting with birth, and those were largely Black women. As midwifery then became formalized and medicine became formalized, there was a professionalization of the work of birth, and those granny midwives were then phased out. Was you need a license to practice medicine, you need to be an official. There's different standards and different things. And so while birth has become more safe overall over time. Obviously, we have medications, we have advancements, we have things that are absolutely undeniable advancements in care. We can talk about attending births, and once upon a time, births were happening in the home, and now, you know, less than 10% of births in the United States happen at home. And there is a lot to be said for hospital medicine and in-hospital birth, of course. I'm an OBGYN, and so I believe that we can do well in the care of women and birthing people. And at the same time, I recognize that who is doing the caring matters, and our physician workforce does not reflect the population. And that is because of racism, not because Black people are not interested in medicine, not because Black people don't want to become doctors and nurses. It is due to racism. And again, at different levels, our education system, et cetera.
Pregnancy and delivery can be daunting for any birthing individual, any woman. And yet when you add in this extra burden for, let's say, African American women who are facing these higher mortality rates, what do you want them to know?
As a Black woman, OBGYN, as a mother, we're not broken. We're not broken. There can be a lot of fear around birth. The statistics are jarring. I think it's very important to understand why. And so when you hear a stat that just says, I'm more likely to die, that causes a lot of fear. And it causes a lot of concern. Then you're saying, well, what am I supposed to do with that? Am I supposed to give birth alone? If I go to the hospital, are people going to be nice to me? Are people going to take care of me? And I think it's, again, that point of racism acts at many different levels. I am not new to the idea of discrimination exists. Many times it's something you can't put your finger on. But when I think about my own personal experience as knowing that I wanted to build a family, knowing that I wanted to become a mother, it is the greatest joy of my life. It is the greatest accomplishment that I've ever done. And my children are wonderful, and there's nothing wrong with them. For me, even to persist in medicine and to persist in this work, I had to say, there's nothing wrong with me. The system is wrong. The system is broken. And there are lots of wonderful people who are working on the system. How do I identify the supports that I need to get through pregnancy safely and in a nurturing environment? How do I identify my team? How do I find what feels most comfortable to me and get through this process of building my family?
And that's the advice I was looking for, because I think that women or birthing individuals need to have that agency and need to have that confidence to say, yes, I do need this team around me, and to go out and find it.
Exactly. A lot of times I get questions where people say, well, where can I go that's safe? Or what can I ask my doctor so I will know if they're going to treat me right and all of these things? At the end of the day, it is so important to, one, be seen and treated as a human being. And when we can interact with each other on that human level, on that personal level, I think that those are the questions. It's not like, what is the list of questions that I can ask my provider so that I would know if they're going to do the right thing by me. When I'm getting care for myself, I have to presume that it's going to be a positive experience. And the best that I might be able to do is to say, I've read these statistics and I'm concerned. What do you do in your practice to ensure that you're doing the best that you can, or that your team is doing the best they can in your care of Black patients? Or what are you going to do to help me get through this pregnancy? How are we going to be in partnership together? Then we're going back to like an asset framing mindset about around Black birth and around your birth, you know, your specific birth. And I think that that's what we all want. When I think about the things that I most love about being an OBGYN, is that partnership with patients in this critical time in a person's life.
You are working closely with Dr. Krista Johnson of Bakwu. She's the executive director of UMass Chan's Collaborative in Health Equity. That's a group that aims to unite and grow all of these initiatives across our campus community that are designed to improve health equity, including some in clinical care and research and education and community engagement. And then important to note that Black Maternal Health Week is coming up in April, second week of April, beginning of April 11th. And our campus is going to be opening our doors to the community. Can you talk a little bit about what's planned and why it's important?
Black Maternal Health Week at UMass Chan and UMass Memorial is like the coming out of the collaborative in health equity. Dr. Johnson-Ogbaku is a force to be reckoned with. And so this week of programming is really the coalescing of many departments and many facets of the medical school and the health system in recognition of the great work that's happening here. Black Maternal Health Week was started by Black Mamas Matter Alliance, and it is a week-long campaign to build awareness, activism, and community building to amplify the voices, perspectives, and lived experiences of Black mamas and birthing people. To kick things off, we'll have the inaugural Health Equity Distinguished Lecture, where Dr. Ndidiye Amuta Onukaga from Tufts and the Mother Lab will be giving this keynote address. And that will be a hybrid event at the Albert Sherman Amphitheater. Folks can join us online. The wellness office will have a wellness fair that's co-located. And so as people are coming to hear the talk, they can access some of the wellness fair activities and vendors, and even showcasing some local businesses that are working in promoting and supporting Black maternity health and care. Friday, April 12th, there's a pediatrics grand rounds. We'll be focusing on racial disparities in breastfeeding. You know, going back to the historic discussion that we had a moment ago, you know, how is it that we go from Black women being the nourishers of the country, including children who are not their own from the days of slavery and wet nursing, to then having the lowest rates of breastfeeding today? On Saturday the 13th, there's a community baby shower with that idea of wrapping Black birthing people in a cocoon of support and safety, and really saying how we get resources that are needed, and also that those resources may be information resources. They may be support resources where people can feel and have that agency that's necessary to really walk through this important, impactful, and challenging time of building the family that you desire. On Tuesday, Worcester Department of Public Health is having a forum from awareness to action, discussing the state of Black maternal health in Worcester. And then we're closing it out on Wednesday, April 17th, with my grand rounds in the OBGYN department entitled Black Women Aren't Broken. I'll be talking about looking at the healthcare workforce and how, like, a path forward, specifically talking about the workforce. Because again, I think fundamental to my view of things is who is doing the caring matters. It's not that Black people only need to be cared for by Black doctors and physicians. It is that if we understand the lack of diversity in health fields is a result of racism, then we can approach things in a different way.
If you're listening and you are either pregnant or you're a parent of children up to age 2 and you want to come to that community baby shower, or you're interested in attending one of the lectures, we'll put more information about that in our show notes. And obviously we want to open our arms to the community for that. And just talking about it is so important. Just bringing people together to think about it collectively is so important. So we're really looking forward to that week of events. We'll have more of the Voices of UMass Chan after a quick break.
You're listening to the Voices of UMass Chan podcast, featuring the people, ideas, and advances of UMass Chan Medical School.
Another initiative, Dr. Hamblin, that we'd like to talk with you about is the new doula program. Start out just by reminding us, what is a doula and how can they be integrated into the modern day 2024 labor and delivery team?
They're not providing prenatal care, but they are supporting that birthing person and their family in their pregnancy. A doula is a non-medical birth support person. So I like to say, I didn't have a doula. I had a Debbie, my wonderful girlfriend, was there for me during my pregnancy with all of my questions. And she was an experienced mom of 3 and there to support me in my labor and delivery. The doula can be all of that. And so as of December 8th, MassHealth actually is providing doula coverage to their insured, which is great. So there are some private insurances, but Massachusetts is the 10th state to come on board with Medicaid coverage of doula services. Doulas are actually associated with improved birth outcomes, with decreased C-section rate, improved breastfeeding rates, improved newborn Apgars. A doula can be that person to kind of help that birthing person have their needs met. And so meeting someone during their prenatal course, going to visits with them, or just talking with them after visits, identifying or formulating a birth plan, you know, what is it that you actually want out of your experience? What are your plans for, you know, management of pain during labor, your plans for, you know, what do you want, what don't you want? And then voicing that for you and with you, or reinforcing it when you might not feel like you're able to speak up.
Through the doula program, how will that hopefully help lower those mortality rates?
Yeah, so as much as mortality is really a alarming statistic, it's also a rare event. And so not only are we looking at mortality, but looking at morbidity. So having bad outcomes, and bad outcomes include hemorrhage, they include heart attack, preeclampsia, other complications of birth. Bad outcome is also the experience. If you have a birth that you feel that you need to heal from, not just physically, emotionally, if that trauma is from the experience, we need to do better. The doula program is really focused on identifying the patients that are having the worst outcomes, which in our system and across many systems is Black birthing people. And now connecting the dots to resources that are available, such as doulas, such as breastfeeding support services or lactation counseling, lactation education and support, childbirth education.
Can you share any feedback from women who have had a doula by their side through the process and how it's made a difference?
So in our program is very, very new. We are standing up all of the details of, you know, how patients can activate this doula benefit, et cetera. But doulas have been doing work in Massachusetts also and around the country. I've had patients with doulas and the feedback is amazing.
Well, Dr. Hamblin, congratulations. We're really like looking forward to seeing the difference that that new doula program will make. And thank you for all the work that you're doing to improve Black maternal health.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me.
And just a reminder to our listeners, if you're interested in any of those events that are planned on the UMass Chan campus for Black Maternal Health Week beginning April 11th, you'll find more information about that in our show notes. And if you like the Voices of UMass Chan, we hope you'll subscribe so you don't miss any new episodes. Until next time, I'm Jennifer Barron.
Follow us at UMass Chan on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and LinkedIn. On YouTube, find us at UMass Chan Medical School.